This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari, and it's 9:04. Lisa, this is program 133 in the series. We're doing a special Thanksgiving program, and it's good to see you on Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Are you stuffed?
To you and to Tom and to everybody who's listening. I'm not that stuffed.
Tom Hush is our producer tonight. Good to see you, Tom. And hopefully he's all stuffed with turkey. I am so stuffed right now, I can't even tell you.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what you're supposed to do. So we're hoping you guys can just take a little nap, listen to a little WGN Radio
Well,
Theater
don't
at
fall
the same
asleep,
time.
Though.
Or just a little rest time.
Yeah.
A little downtime.
You know, what is it called? Tryptophan?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? I had two servings of turkey.
Was that two slices?
No, I ate, took
each?
A nap, came back, and ate some more turkey. Went by my sister Carlene's house. My mom was over there, and my sister's daughter, Ilana, and we ate like there was no tomorrow.
Well, there will be a tomorrow, and we'll eat again
really?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. Well, on this edition, a very special Thanksgiving edition of the WGN Radio Theater, normally, Lisa, as you know, but maybe the people listening don't know, we're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. So we're on 6 hours a week on the weekend. We're on Saturdays and Sundays from 11 to 2, 3 hours on Saturday, 3 hours on Sunday. And we play six classic radio shows for you, all your favorites, Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, The Shadow, Suspense, Sherlock Holmes, Gunsmoke, Dragnet. We play all of the radio shows from the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. And tonight, we have two Thanksgiving shows. We're going to start things off in just a few minutes with a Jack Benny program from 1953, a Thanksgiving program. And then after Jack Benny, we'll tune into Casey Crime Photographer, Good Detective Adventure, called After the Turkey, the Bill. Good Thanksgiving show there with Casey Crime Photographer as well. And that's coming your way in just a few minutes. But first, a word from our sponsors. Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater special Thanksgiving edition. Normally, we're not here on Thursday nights. We're here on Saturday and Sunday nights, but we are very happy to be here on a Thanksgiving night with all of the listeners here on WGN. What an honor to be here on a weekday.
I'm feeling special. It's a Thursday. It's 9 o'clock, and we've got a special show. And it's all special. It's just special, special tonight.
Yeah,
we're all feeling special.
So did you cook, or did you?
Are you kidding me?
You did, or you didn't?
I did not.
Oh well, that's good for the hospitals. They don't have to worry then.
Right.
There won't be a rash of people.
Nope. All
being
good.
Admitted. In
nope,
your town.
Everybody's
That's
happy.
Good for the people mm-hmm. that are working at the hospital. They can maybe get off early and have a Thanksgiving of their own now.
And they can listen to
so
the show.
Hey, Lisa is not cooking. Everyone's okay.
I did not cook.
Yeah.
But I got some water bottles and some snacks. We're ready to go.
All right. Well, Jack Benny is up first. We have a Thanksgiving Jack Benny program from 1953. As you know, Lisa, he was one of the most beloved American entertainers of the 20th century. Just loved Jack Benny. He was born in Chicago, yep. but grew up in Waukegan. In fact, there's a school named after him, and he didn't even graduate from that school. They kicked
arts.
Him out of there.
Yeah, there's a performing arts center that's opened not too long ago as well. It's beautiful.
You know, and he when he was doing vaudeville, he would he wanted a prop. You know, like George Burns used a cigar. Well, Jack Benny wanted a prop, so he picked up a violin and learned how to play the violin. Actually, he was a pretty darn good violin player. He pretended on the show that he wasn't, but he used that prop, and that's what he did in vaudeville. And then he kind of carried it over into radio. When he was in front of a live audience, he'd have the violin. It made him feel comfortable. He was on the radio from 1932 all the way to 1955, and he played a fictional version of himself. You know, Jack Benny, the radio, film, and TV star, a lot like the Seinfeld television show. And let me put your microphone on, Roger. Roger Hello. Badish is here. Roger, you're a student of these classic radio
yep.
shows,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure you've watched Seinfeld. And there's
yep.
a lot of correlations between the Seinfeld television show. Here you have Jerry Seinfeld, mm-hmm. who was a comedian. And he had his and he was always talking about doing his stand up and all that on his television show. Jack Benny did the same thing, always talking
right.
about doing the show the next week. And he surrounded himself with very funny characters. In fact, Jerry Seinfeld really doesn't get the most laughs on the show when you
nope.
think about it.
Nope.
Kramer
nope.
gets the laughs, and Elaine gets a mm-hmm. lot of laughs, and of course George Costanza, played by Jason Alexander. Same thing with Jack Benny. Yeah, Jack Benny, who, yes, got a laugh here or there, but Dennis Day, Phil Harris, Don Wilson, Mary Livingston.
I think the correlation there is that Seinfeld and Benny were the straight men.
Yeah.
In their shows.
Absolutely.
And you're very right.
Yeah.
Seinfeld's show opens and closes with his stand-up routine.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it was only in the first season that they did that, but you're right. And I think
that set the tone.
It did.
And then it was the rest of his life.
That's right.
He was not a fictional character within the program. He was himself, the comedian.
Which is exactly what I'm saying with the Jack Benny program.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's a lot of similarities between, and I think, you know, Jerry Seinfeld, a very smart guy, and, you know, Larry David, who they co-created that show, I got to believe they probably said to themselves, let's look back in history and see what's the most famous comedy show of radio and television.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy to say. It was the Jack Benny program.
Mm-hmm.
And what better show to emulate or to have an homage to than that show, right?
Exactly.
And it
a
worked.
A lot of the Jack Benny programs, most of them, all of them, were Jack Benny, the comedian, in charge of the show in which all the other players appeared in his comedy stage show.
Mm-hmm.
His regular life and getting ready for the show, going to rehearsals, having to go pick up a star, having to go. It was identical.
It really was.
And I was going to say also the humor is very self-deprecating in both cases.
Oh, absolutely.
A very similar type of humor.
Especially with Jack Benny.
Yeah.
They were all kind of making fun of him, you know.
And as they did Jerry, and he made a fun of himself, too. And I guess we all do that.
So I think
the only time that Jack Benny got a laugh was in his reaction.
Yeah.
His physical facial reaction, his body stance.
Yes.
Which
his pauses,
his
which
pauses.
Were amazing. He had incredible timing, as Jerry Seinfeld does.
Exactly.
So we're going to listen to a Jack Benny program here. Check out the similarities we're talking about. Let's go back to November 29th, 1953, a Thanksgiving program. We'll break it up into two parts. Here's about 10 minutes now of the Jack Benny program.
The Jack Benny program. Program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don. Ladies and gentlemen, last Thursday was Thanksgiving, and Jack invited his whole gang over for dinner. But let's go back to the day before Thanksgiving. As we look in on Jack's home, he and Rochester are taking inventory to make sure that they have enough of everything for the big event. They're checking all the items in the pantry. As Rochester calls them off, Jack is writing them down.
Two cans of corned beef hash.
Two cans of corned beef hash.
Three cans of cranberry sauce.
Three cans of cranberry sauce.
Two bottles of A1 sauce.
Two bottles of A1 sauce.
97 bottles of olives.
Wait a minute, Rochester. Isn't that the same amount of olives that we had last year?
Yeah, we don't use any since Phil Harris left the show.
Oh, yes, Bob Crosby isn't a martini man. Continue, Rochester.
Two bottles of vanilla extract.
Two bottles of vanilla extract.
One bottle of Lydia Pinkham's.
One bottle of Lydia Pinkham's.
12 slices of white bread.
12 slices of white bread.
7 slices of whole wheat bread.
7 slices of whole wheat bread.
Oh, say, boss.
What is it, Rochester?
When we come to the toothpicks, let's just estimate.
Okay for the plain ones, but the colored ones will count. Now, let's finish this.
Yes, sir. 6 bottles of ketchup.
6 bottles of ketchup.
6 bottles of chili sauce.
6 bottles of chili sauce.
3 cans of Puss in Boots cat food.
3 cans of Puss in Boots cat food.
Boss, why have we got that?
I borrowed it from the Colemans.
But we haven't got a cat. Why'd you borrow it?
Well, they were out of butter, and I didn't want to leave empty-handed. We'll use it someday. Continue.
1 sack of Idaho potatoes.
1 sack of Idaho. Rochester, answer the door. I'll finish the inventory.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Rochester.
Oh, hello, Miss Livingston. Welcome to Ralph's Supermarket.
What?
Come right in.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. What are you doing up on that stool?
I'll be finished in a minute. I'm just putting some stuff back on the top shelf. Would you please hand me those two jars of caviar?
Oh, fine. Fish eggs from a frightened mackerel, and he calls it caviar.
Mary, why do you have to come over here?
Jack, look out! The stool! The cans are falling!
Ooh.
Jack, are you hurt?
No, I'm all right. What are you laughing at?
With those fish eggs in your ear, you look like you're going upstream to spawn.
Upstream to spawn. A man nearly kills himself and you talk about romance. Now, I don't care. Answer that, will you please?
Okay. Hello, Mr. Benny's residence.
Hey, Mary, how come you're answering the phone? You got new clause in your contract?
No, Bob. Jack would have answered it, but he can't. He's lying on the floor.
Oh, holy smoke, he's getting as bad as my musicians.
It isn't that at all. He fell off a stool.
Oh, well, that's what the boys in the band do.
Look, Bob, it's kind of hard to explain, but he fell while checking some stuff in the pantry.
The pantry?
Yeah, he's making sure he's enough of everything for his big Thanksgiving dinner. You're coming, aren't you?
Oh, sure, I bought my ticket 2 weeks ago.
Well, that was smart. There's no sense waiting until the last minute when the scalpers get hold of them. Just a minute, Bob. I'll let you talk to Jack. Jack, it's Bob Crosby.
I'll take it. Hello, Bob.
Say, Jack, I wonder if you could give me a couple of extra tickets to next week's broadcast.
Well, I might be able to scrape up two. Who are they for?
Well, to tell you the truth, they're for Remley, but he was afraid to ask you.
Well, he should be after what happened last time. He gave that ticket to his girl, and she almost started a riot in the studio. Imagine her walking up and down the aisle doing a thing like that.
Oh, but that wasn't her fault, Jack. The band never should have played A Pretty Girl Is Like a Melody.
All right, but where did she get the balloons? Where did she get the balloons?
Where'd you get the pin?
Never mind. All right, Bob, I'll give you the tickets at rehearsal.
Thank you, Jack. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bob always has to call me when I'm busy. Oh, Rochester.
What is it, boss?
I knocked over all these cans when I fell off the stool. Will you pick them up while I go on with the inventory?
Yes, sir.
Mary, will you please help me? I'll call off the items and you write them down.
Oh, sure, Jack.
Five bottles of vinegar. 3 bottles of real lemon juice.
3 bottles of real lemon juice.
4,500 cans of Minute Maid orange juice.
4,500 cans of Minute Maid orange juice.
Wasn't that a wonderful guest spot I did on Bing's program? I had to give 500 cans to my agent, you know. Now, let's keep going, Mary. One leg of lamb. 2 packages of bacon.
2 packages of bacon.
1 side of beef.
Jack, that's me.
Hello, Don.
Hello, Jack. Hi, Mary.
Hello, Don.
By the way, Don, I hope I didn't forget to invite you and the sportsmen to Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, no, you invited us. Jack, I feel awfully popular this year.
Popular?
Yeah, beside your invitation, I've been invited to Harry Von Zell's house, Dinah Shore's house, and Jimmy Wallington's house for Thanksgiving dinner, too.
Which one are you going to?
All of them. Well, guess I better be getting on home.
Well, I'll walk to the door with you.
Okay.
Say, Don, I've been wanting to ask you something for a long time.
What is it, Jack?
Well, even though the sportsmen have been with me 5 years now, I never did find out how they formed their group. Funny, I've never asked you about that.
That's quite an interesting story, Jack. It started up in Las Vegas, you
Las
see.
Las Vegas?
Yeah, 2 of the boys were singing as a duet in the Flamingo, and 2 of them were singing as a duet at the Sahara.
Uh-huh.
And just by chance, they got together and formed a quartet.
Well, I'll be darned. 2 and 2. They made 4 the hard way. Well, so long, Don. See you and the boys Thursday.
So long.
Well, I better go back and finish the inventory. Say, Mary.
Just a minute, Jack. Go ahead, Rochester.
12 cans of crushed pineapple.
12 cans of crushed pineapple.
19 cans of condensed milk.
19 cans of condensed milk.
2,456 cans.
Cans? Cans of what?
Just cans. Mr. Benny, don't throw nothing away.
Certainly not. I paint them and hang them on Christmas trees. Now, Mary, I can finish this up with Rochester, so...
Shall I answer it, boss?
No, don't bother getting down from the stool. I'll answer. I'd get this inventory finished before we...
Oh, Mr. Benny, I just came over to ask you if you...
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello. Mr. Benny, I just come over to ask you if you...
How do you feel, kid?
Fine. Mr. Benny, I just come over to ask you if you...
Close the door, will you, Dennis?
Okay.
Now, Dennis, what did you... Dennis, how do you like that? He locked himself out. Oh, well. Come in.
Oh, Mr. Benny, I just come over to ask you if it'll be all right
Dennis,
with you
Dennis, when I told you to close the door, I meant you should come in first.
Oh.
Now, what did you want to ask me?
If I could use your phone, our house is on fire.
All right, that's the first portion of the Jack Benny program going back to November 29th, 1953. Jack and Mary go shopping for a Thanksgiving turkey. And a great cast in that. Bob Crosby, who was Bing Crosby's brother, Dennis Day, Don Wilson, Mary Livingston, Mel Blanc, the man of a thousand voices, Eddie Rochester Anderson, the Sportsman's Quartet, and Harry Shearer on that show. Harry Shearer. Roger, you know who he is, of course.
Oh, yes, I do.
Terrific actor, and yeah. he was a young guy on the Jack Benny program, and he's
he
in this
was
cast.
So young, they had his crib next to the microphone.
And he does a ton of voices on The Simpsons.
Oh,
tons of voices
fantastic.
On there. And this was originally sponsored by Lucky Strike, but we've removed all the Lucky Strike commercials because we don't want you to smoke.
Nope.
And a CBS broadcast. We'll get back to the Jack Benny Thanksgiving show in just a few minutes. And I asked Roger, he's down here, and I asked him if he got my email on Monday, and he did get
That's
the email.
Right.
The Mysterious Traveler was in that email.
Yep, and it popped up in the morning, about 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, my phone starts buzzing and bouncing off the table.
And it's Carl.
And I reached over, put my glasses on, and saw it was from you.
Yeah.
And I got all giddy, and can't wait to listen
funny,
to the program.
That's funny, because we have a different response to his emails.
When you hear it.
When I email Lisa, she goes, eh.
Oh,
so,
him again.
Our listeners are probably wondering, what are they talking about? Here's the thing, folks. I have a website that you can go to. And it's absolutely free. It's called freeradioclassics.com. And if you go to that website and just put your name and email address, you are registered. And I will send you an email every Monday. You'll get an email from me that has a link to listen to a 30-minute classic radio show. One week it might be Jack Benny. The next week it might be Boston Blackie, Suspense, The Shadow. Not only do you get this link with a digitally remastered classic radio show in superb sound quality, but it has the original commercials. Nothing is edited out of it. It's the full show. But we also provide a photograph of whoever is in that program. Like I sent you, Roger, and everybody that is signed up got a link with the Mysterious Traveler. There was a picture of Maurice Tarplin in front of a Mutual microphone, and he was the Mysterious Traveler. There's also a synopsis of the show. There is the broadcast date, the original sponsor, the network, everything, and it's just a free service to all of our listeners as a thank you for being a listener of this radio show. So once again, there's nothing to buy. There's nothing that you have to do except for going to the website and signing up to the service. Just go to freeradioclassics.com, put your first name, your last name, and your email address. And then every Monday, you'll get an email from me, 52 emails a year.
And make sure that, it took me a couple of weeks because I kept leaving off the S on classics.
Oh, yeah.
It's plural. I kept leaving that off, and I wasn't connecting.
Ah.
You'll get a confirmation.
Yes.
Once you sign up, you get a confirmation. You confirm that through your email. Boom. you're in like Flint.
Right. There you go. So just go to freeradioclassics.com. Have you signed up for it, Lisa?
I did, Carl.
You did?
I did.
Wow. What do you think of that?
That
Lisa
is
Wolf
a
signing
and
I
just
miracle.
And you just go boom and boom. It happens. So
well, it's magical.
Almost
it's,
boom.
It's
boom.
Off, it's awfully magical.
To quote our news traffic man over here. So
you're listening to the WGN Radio Theater, a special edition of the WGN Radio Theater, on a Thursday Thanksgiving night. And we have two Thanksgiving shows for you all the way till 11 o'clock. And then Patty Vasquez will be here, right?
Yep, 11
yeah,
o'clock
very
today.
Cool. All right. Sounds great. All right, Jack Benny's coming your way. Then in our next hour, you will hear a detective adventure of Casey Crime Photographer. Don't miss that. Oh, there's a little. That's boogie, Lisa.
Thank you, Brandon.
I like the boogie music. Get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune News. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com. This is a special edition of the WGN Radio Theater on a Thursday Thanksgiving night. Hope everyone is all stuffed like I am. I am so full. Had a delicious dinner at my sister Carlene's house. It was unbelievable. She made all the stuff, stuffings and
stuffing, and she made the stuff,
turkey.
And you had some more stuffing.
I had some white meat, some dark meat. I just kind of gorged on everything. I was just kind of like, I gobbled everything up.
I'm not like a big foodie person.
No?
You want to know my favorite part of the dinner tonight? You won't believe me, but it's really true.
The cranberries?
Yes.
I knew you were going to say
How
that.
How in the world did
I can
you know
read
that?
Your mind, Lisa.
I swear I did not say that to you, did I?
No.
I like the cranberries.
Really?
They're like
that's
tart.
The one thing my sister made that I didn't eat.
That's my favorite part of the dinner. So
I ate the rolls.
I didn't eat that.
There was like this.
Oh, and I had sweet potatoes. They were just plain
sweet potatoes.
I don't like them with no marshmallow crap on top.
And
just
then she
potatoes.
Made a chocolate cake, and I ate a huge piece of chocolate cake
Did
with
you bring
milk.
Some for me?
No.
Oh, I like that.
Gosh, I ate a lot.
All right. Well, you know what? Now
but
you
I was
can
so
kind
excited
of
about
out,
coming here and
relax,
playing
listen
these
to some Jack Benny
classic radio shows. Yeah. So we are here, Lisa Wolf and I. We're the WGN Radio Theater team. We're here on Saturday and Sunday nights. If you haven't listened to our show, we invite you to tune us in on the weekends. We're on late. We're on 11 p.m. till 2 in the morning. You don't have to stay up to the whole time, but try to catch at least the first couple of hours at least of
and
the show.
And we do a few extra things on the weekend that we're not doing for the Thanksgiving show.
Yeah, we
show.
Give away
we
prizes.
Prizes and call-ins. Yeah,
trivia.
And
a little trivia.
I was going to say that, but you...
Right.
You said
I'm
going to
let you
me.
Talk. Go ahead.
You are out of words already. You've hit your limit with words.
Okay. Go ahead. What do
no,
we do?
You
what
said
do we
it
do
already.
On the weekend?
No, you said it already. We're on Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 2. We play two different shows. So one show on Saturday, one show on Sunday. As a matter of fact, this Saturday and Sunday, on Saturday we have Gunsmoke, Jack Benny, and Escape. Mm-hmm. And on Sunday we have Bing Crosby, Ellery Queen and the Whistler.
Right.
And with both of those shows, we have call in every hour for a celebrity scoop. We give away great prizes. And so we have a lot of fun. We hope you'll try us out on the weekend, 11 to 2.
Six classic radio shows every weekend. You won't want to miss it. And it's kind of nice because you can get ready for bed, right? And then get in the bed. And sometimes we play the scary radio shows. That's what I like.
We both nighttime. Like that, yeah.
You get the covers, you know, and you get in bed and you listen to these, like, lights out, or you hear the shadow or suspense or the mysterious traveler, the good scary stuff. But we play westerns, comedies, detective shows, you know, science fiction programs, dramas. You name it.
Right. And if we have it, we'll play it for you. If you go to our Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater, and let us know what you'd like to hear. If we have it, we will play it.
If we have it.
Well, we probably have it.
We have
it. But I have to say one more thing. We have so many people at the text in line telling us that they love the show and that they're so excited that we have a special show tonight. So, I don't know. I feel pretty special right now.
Our text number, if you want to reach us while we're here, we get back to everybody.
Well, I don't get back to everybody, but I do read everything. Thing, and
yeah,
I want you to know
everything.
What you write is very important.
Right. 312-981-7200 is our text line. Feel free to text us. We do read everything. And Lisa, when she can, she gets back to people.
You know, if I'm not too busy,
right,
you
getting
know,
her nails
doing
done,
other things.
Or her
you know,
toenails curled
like
or whatever.
Like looking to the right or looking to the left, then right. Maybe I'll write back.
And before we get back to Jack Benny, I want to remind our listeners that we have a contest every month. And it's really not a contest. It's more of a drawing. And we give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, which is one of our sponsors, our main sponsor here on the WGN Radio Theater. And Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, which is the greatest kitty litter in the world, he comes in here once a month along with Dave Weiske, and they both draw a name of one of our listeners and give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. Now, how do you enter? You do what?
You send a picture of your cat. We want to see your beautiful cat to catspridephoto@gmail.com. We just need your name, your cat's name, your city and state. You'll automatically be entered at the end of every single month. We choose one lucky winner. If you don't win for November, which is coming up soon, then go ahead and try again for December. Keep submitting, and you might win.
You could send the same picture every month.
Yeah, or new pictures. We don't care.
What we do is, all of the entries for the month of November put into a hat, and Dan picks out one. And then in December, we do the same thing. All of the entries in December. So you need to enter every month. But
yeah,
someone wins.
We have a lot of fun, and we give away a great product for anybody who has a cat. So
right. And we also have a website for this radio show. It's at WGNRadioTheater.com. WGNRadioTheater.com. And there's podcasts, too. There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, just go to WGN Radio. Go to the website and find WGN Radio Theater. And we have a podcast for every Saturday and every Sunday show since we started, which was almost 2 years ago.
Right.
Which
so if you're just
ridiculous.
Learning about this program, because it's kind of fun to do a show when we're, you know, not our regular time slot, because we reach listeners that are not normally listening to our show,
yeah,
right?
But don't listen to show one, because Carl
was terrible,
on that show.
Lisa was great, and Carl was terrible. Yeah. So don't listen to show one. You can start listening
start
on show two.
Three, I was going to say.
Yeah, maybe three.
Maybe three.
Be safe.
Be safe, start with three.
But this is our 133rd show, so Lisa's obviously not sick of me yet.
I didn't say that. No.
I'm just surmising.
No, I didn't say that.
All right, so we're listening to Jack Benny. Let's go back to November 29th, 1953. Here's the conclusion to the Jack Benny Thanksgiving show.
Now, Dennis, don't be silly. If your house on fire, why would you come all the way to Beverly Hills to use the phone?
I want the firemen to think I'm a big shot.
Dennis, close the door, will you? Just my luck. This time he stayed on the inside. Now, look, kid, I'm busy, so don't bother me with all these silly things you make up. Come on, Mayor, let's finish this inventory.
Okay.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
Yes, yes.
I thought you were cleaning house like my mother did the other day.
I'm not cleaning house.
Boy, did she get rid of a lot of stuff. She threw some old curtains out of the living room, a broken rocking chair out of the bedroom, and she even took the moose head out of the shower.
Now, Mary, let's... Dennis... Dennis, she took what out of the shower?
The moose head.
You're going to ignore that, eh, Mary?
I certainly am.
My father put it there, but my
mother...
Wait a
minute, Dennis. Wait a minute. Hold it a minute. I know I'll regret asking you this. But why would your father put a moose head in the shower?
The other end would look silly.
I can understand. Now, Dennis, besides your house being on fire and your father being in a shower with a moose, what else is new?
Well, I've been rehearsing my song all week. Would you like to hear it?
I'd love to. Anything. Go ahead.
Okay.
Hold it a minute, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny. This is Mel Blanc.
Hello, Mel. What is it?
Mr. Benny, I've been on your program for 10 years now, and I ain't never complained before, but this time I gotta.
What's the matter?
It's about the part you got me playing in Sunday's show. Some part, oh, brother.
Now, wait a minute, Mel. Sunday's program is about Thanksgiving, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what's the most important thing connected with Thanksgiving?
A turkey.
Well, that's the part you're playing.
Well, I don't like it. Always you make me an animal. Why can't I have a talking part and be a human being?
Look, Mel.
Sometimes you make me a rabbit...
A rabbit?
What's up, Doc?
Look, Mel, Look, Mel.
Or a woodpecker?
Mel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look, Mel. Mel, look, I'm busy.
Won't you even cast me as an English horse?
An English horse? Mel, I'm sorry, just that you have to play the parts that are needed.
You may not realize it, Mr. Benny, but I'm pretty important to you.
Important?
Yeah, if it wasn't for me, you'd never get any place.
What are you talking about? I wouldn't get any place.
Every time you start that lousy Maxwell, I almost break a blood vessel going... That's all the things I do on a program. Now I want some talking parts. I'm a human being.
Now, look, Mel, either you stop this complaining or I'll let you go.
You wouldn't fire me.
All right. But Sunday, you're playing a turkey, and that's final.
What made you so mad at Mel, Jack?
Oh, he's always complaining. I got a half a notion to fire him.
You better not. He's too important to the show.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Go ahead and sing, Dennis. Now, just sit down for a few minutes. I want to finish my inventory.
We've got it all listed, boss, and you've got plenty of everything for the Thanksgiving dinner.
Good. We won't have to do any shopping, then.
How big a turkey did you get?
Turkey? I knew I forgot something.
You mean you forgot to buy the turkey?
Yeah, but there's still plenty of time.
Well, don't wait till the last minute. You ought to go and get one right now.
Well, will you go with me, Mary?
Sure, let's go.
I'll stay here.
Good, good. Gee, Mary, we're having a break in the weather lately. It's such a lovely day, you know?
Yes, we usually do have good weather around Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh, Mary, look over there at those boys playing football.
Hey, Joey, kick it to me now.
They're nice kids, Mary. They're in my Beverly Hills Beavers Club, you know? The bigger one is Stevie Kent. His folks live on the corner. Every time I go for a walk, I stop and talk with him. Hey, Stevie, throw the ball over here.
Huh? Oh, Mr. Benny, here it comes. Look out. I think it's too high. You'll have to run for it. Faster. You better jump for it. Wow. What a catch.
Say, that was a good catch, Mary. How'd you do it?
I don't know, but you could buy me a new girdle for Christmas.
I will.
See, Mr. Benny, you know, you haven't been to a single meeting of the Beavers Club since the 1st of September.
I know, Stevie. It's unfortunate that you hold your meetings on Sunday afternoon, because, you see, every Sunday I do a radio program, and every third Sunday I do a television show.
Oh. Well, you know, you get fined a nickel for every meeting you miss.
I know. I've been trying to get my broadcast changed. Well, we'll talk about it later. Come on, Mary, we better get down to the market. Gee, these supermarkets are so big, I always get lost in them.
Jack, there's the poultry department over there.
Oh, yes. Come on, Mary, let's walk over to the counter and we'll,
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Well, Mr. Ketchum. Mr. Kitzel, what are you doing working in the poultry department?
Well, I got the job on account of my uncle.
Oh, he owns the market?
No, I owe him money.
Oh, well, look, Mr. Kitzel, I want to buy a turkey. Are they very expensive? You mean they're that high?
Come here a minute.
Huh?
Step closer. Do you know what turkeys are selling for today?
No.
Come a little closer.
Huh?
Lean over a little.
What?
63 cents a pound.
Well, why did you have to bring me over there?
I don't want the turkeys to get conceited.
63 cents a pound. That's a lot of money for turkeys.
Say, they got to live too.
I suppose so. Say, Mary, look at those turkeys lying there, so cold and still. Just think, a few days ago they were happy, carefree, and gay. And now they're 63 cents. I mean, now they're dead. Mr. Kitzel, how old were these turkeys when they were killed?
About 8 months.
Didn't even have a chance to live. I feel terrible.
You'd feel a lot worse if they were 73 cents a pound.
I suppose so. But I don't know, Mary, when I see that turkey lying there like that, I can't help but think of its mother. Gee, how lonesome she must be.
Don't worry, that's her laying right next to him.
Oh.
Say, Jack, while you're getting the turkey, I better shop around and get some things for the stuffing.
I think I have everything at home, Mary.
What about cracker crumbs?
Plenty.
Stale bread?
2 loaves.
Oysters?
1 can.
Sage?
39.
What?
I thought you said age. Yes, we have everything.
Well, Mr. Benny, what's your pleasure, if I can be so pleasant?
Well... I'd like to get a live turkey, about 25 pounds.
Live turkeys are over there, down by the end of the counter.
Oh, yes. I think I'll take that one on the right. It looks nice and plump.
Put on your glasses. That's my wife.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
I wish I could get 63 cents a pound for her.
What?
Nothing. I'm daydreaming.
Now, Mr. Kitzel, what would you suggest?
Well, if you want a nice live turkey, how's about this one over here?
Say, Jack, this one's nice and plump.
Oh, I've seen turkeys look plump, but they were all feathers. I'm going to feel this one myself. Hold still, turkey.
You and your cold hands.
Well, how much does this turkey weigh?
About 160 pounds.
I thought so. Why does this turkey weigh so much?
He's also an English horse.
Oh. right, Mr. Kitzel, we'll take this turkey. Come on, turkey. Come on, I'll take you home. Come on, Mary.
Jack, look out. The turkey's getting away.
Quick, Mary, try to grab him. He's running out in the street.
Jack, the car almost ran over the turkey and killed him.
I'm sure glad it didn't. Mel Blanc is too important to this program.
Yeah.
Come on, Mary, let's go home. Well, Rochester, the gang will be over this evening for Thanksgiving dinner. Is everything ready?
Yes, sir.
Then put the turkey in the oven.
But, boss...
Do as I say. Put the turkey in the oven.
But, boss...
Rochester, I'm telling you to put the turkey in the oven.
Now, wait a minute. This has gone far enough. After all, I'm a human being.
Oh, Mel, you spoil the whole illusion. Good night, folks.
The Jack Benny program is written by Sam Perrin, Milt Josephsburg, George Balzer, John Tackerberry, Al Gordon, Hal Goldman, and produced and transcribed by Hilliard Marks.
That's the Jack Benny program from November 29th, 1953. Great Thanksgiving show there. Towards the end, you heard Jack talking to a little boy, a part of his Beavers group, and that was Harry Shearer. Who, of course, has done a zillion voices and done a lot of acting. And he is one of the main voices on The Simpsons radio television program. Great Jack Benny show. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing classic radio shows for you, actually Thanksgiving shows from the golden age of radio. We tuned into a great Jack Benny Thanksgiving show in our next hour, because Lisa and I will be here along with Tom Hush, our producer tonight. Tom's doing a great job in there, Tom. Thank you so much. And we'll be here till 11 o'clock, right, Lisa?
Yep, one more hour, one more classic radio show.
So in our next hour, we'll tune into Casey Crime Photographer. We'll tell you all about this show. Had a very interesting history, and there were a couple of television shows, including a show that Charles Bronson starred in called Man with a Camera that was sort of a takeoff on this show. And then, do you remember a show called Night Stalker?
Of course.
Remember that with Darren McGavin?
Of course.
There's a little connection to it as well, so we'll talk about that in our next hour. That's Casey Crime Photographer, good Thanksgiving program coming your way. Stotts Cotsworth, say that name five times fast.
Now that
Stotts Cotsworth, brought to you by Anchor Hocking Glass.
Oh, Carl.
That's like Peter Piper picked a pack of pickled peppers.
You were close.
Huh?
It's picked a peck.
A peck?
Not
Peter
a peck.
Piper picked a peck.
Uh-huh.
It's a peck?
It's a peck.
Why did I think it was a peck?
It's not.
Are you sure?
I'm usually right.
Are you positive
on this? I'll double check.
Peter Piper picked
a peck.
What's a peck?
It's a peck. Like a bushel and a peck.
I have a peck.
I love you, a bushel and a peck.
I have two pecks.
You got nothing.
And they're very, very well, very built from all of the bodybuilding.
I love you, a bushel and a peck, Carl.
Oh, okay, well, I just learned something.
Okay.
All right, so when we come back after the news, it's Casey Crime Photographer. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. This is my era, Lisa.
Is this disco here? Here we go.
Yeah. I remember going to the discotheque and...
Oh, no. Here we go again. Oh, no.
With my platform shoes.
Oh, no. Here we go.
And my silk shirt, my horn, my gold horn, which I don't have anymore because...
I know. Your Italian horn. You
Tom,
gave it to a girl.
I gave my gold horn to this girl that I liked. And, you know, she was like, well, yeah, I'll go steady with you if you give me that gold horn. And I gave her the gold horn, and that might have been the last time I ever talked to her, saw her, or anything.
I mean, do you blame
her? She
just,
like, disappeared. I never got to kiss her, nothing.
I mean, I'd say that's a waste of a horn.
Yeah. And so she's out there somewhere. I don't remember.
Her name.
I think I blocked her out. Like, it was psychologically damaging for me, so I
think there's so many girls, it's hard to keep track of everybody's names sometimes.
Yeah, but she has my horn. And I don't have the horn
anymore.
And
you want it back, right?
I would like that horn back.
Bet you do.
Yeah. But probably, it's, well, let's see. I was probably, man, 17. So that was, what, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a long time ago,
1930s,
Lisa.
1930s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite Quite a while back. But I remember those disco days. Boy, those were fun days. See, Tom, he's 20?
23.
So yeah. Tom doesn't remember the disco days. It was something, let me tell you. It was quite an era. You know, we would spend hours on our hair, you know, and dress up. And then go to the discotheque. And then I'd look at that girl across the dance floor, knowing that that's the one that I'm going to get turned down to dance with, you know, a little later. I would say, that's the one that's going to turn me down, you know, and go over there. And sure enough, I'd be right pretty much every time.
I can't believe I missed it.
It was quite an era. Lisa probably had no trouble dancing with guys, right?
Well, I was just looking for you, but never found you there.
We probably were never at the same discotheque together.
You know what? I think we crossed paths just at the right time.
You think so? Yeah.
At the right time.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
We crossed paths just when we were supposed to.
Right, right. This is true. So, that was a fun era, though, wasn't it? And then it kind of just gone. It was just pretty much, there was Disco Demolition here Disco Demolition. It was on a radio station. They had a sponsor that I think it was at Comiskey Park, and they blew up all kinds of. It was Steve Dahl that did.
Oh, I remember Steve Dahl.
And he blew up all of the. And then I think that was sort of put the nail in the coffin of disco. And I was very sad that day.
Well, you know, onward and upward here. Yeah, so
I guess so. But we have something better than disco.
I think so.
We have classic radio shows. Came even before disco. Yep. Nobody's ever blown up classic radio shows. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So we have an episode of Casey Crime Photographer coming your way in this hour. Then that'll be it. Then we get to go home, and we'll be back here on Saturday and Sunday night.
Yep.
Normally,
p.m.
Lisa and I are here with the WGN Radio Theater on Saturdays and Sundays, but Stephanie Menendez said, hey, how would you like to do a Thanksgiving show? And we jumped at the chance.
Yeah, we didn't even have to think.
She didn't even get done finishing.
She didn't even send the email.
Hey, how would you? And we're like, yes.
We did this last year as well, so I think she was pretty sure we would do it again, and we always say we are always happy to be at WGN.
When the boss calls you, you say yes.
We are the yes
right?
man here.
We are the yes. Hey, look what I have here, Lisa.
That's the old issue of Remind Magazine.
Oh, this is the November.
Yeah.
Is this November issue?
It is,
because the December issue has
Sonny and Cher.
This is right. So I write.
This is right.
This is right. So Tom, see this magazine, Remind? I write for this magazine. I have an article in here. And this has 95 puzzles, features, games, all kinds of stuff. It's all about history. It's all about blasts from the past, like radio, television, the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. It's a fantastic magazine. Our listeners would love to have this. And the great thing about this magazine, it's available to all of our listeners at about 60% off the newsstand price. Now, you can pick one of these up at a Walmart or a Barnes & Noble, but you can go to the website. They've set up a special website for us, for all of our listeners, where you can save about 60% off the newsstand price. Just go to remindmagazine.com and subscribe. These come out once a month, and they're 50-plus pages, and there's an article that I write in here called Radio 360. I take a celebrity and talk all about that person's radio career. So hopefully
you'll
check it out.
Yeah, no, it really is a great magazine.
All right, when we come back from the news, we are going to tune into Casey Crime Photographer, so stick around. Give thanks. The Bulls are back on WGN-TV. Watch Dwayne Wade roll into Philly against the Sixers Friday at 6:30 on WGN-TV. I'm the wrong guy to read these things. Anything with sports.
You're just the wrong guy to read.
I just don't. I'm not into sports. I mean, I'm a Cub lunatic. But Bulls or Blackhawks or anything.
Doesn't count.
They give me names of these players. I'm pretty much for sure going to botch it.
Yeah, I know. I'm used to that. Don't worry about it.
But baseball, no. Cubs, anybody on the Cubs. Tom's got his hat on. He's got a Cubs hat on. What a thrilling series that was. I tell you, I was really worried when they went down 3-1, Tom. I was flipping out, man. My brother
and
I.
You weren't the only one.
Flipping out. But they came back and they did it.
They did?
Unbelievable.
What? What happened?
Just like Casey Crime Photographer.
Right.
How you like that segue?
Just like
Casey Crime. This was an amateur detective series, and Casey was a newspaper man, Lisa, and he was a cameraman who worked for a newspaper. and he would take crime scene photos, but he had such a keen eye for detail. He would notice something, you know, when he would take the pictures of the crime scenes, and then he would solve the crime. And it came to radio in 1943, starring Jim Backus originally. Jim Backus was Thurston Howell III on Gilligan's Island. He did a lot of radio before he did television. And then Stotts Cotsworth took over, and it ran until 1955. There was a couple of television series that sort of were based on Casey Crime Photographer. One was called Man with a Camera that starred Charles Bronson. Another one was called Casey Crime Photographer. And then Night Stalker was also kind of based on it. Remember, he was a photographer at a newspaper, and then he was solving all these supernatural crimes with vampires and things. So, all right, we have a Thanksgiving episode now from November 27th, 1947. It's called After the Turkey, the Bill. Here's Stotts Cotsworth, part one of Casey Crime Photographer.
The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer.
Do you think they'll ever put my statue in the Hall of Fame?
What are you famous for, Ethelbert?
For 27 straight years, I always got the same part of the turkey. That's some kind of a record, ain't it?
Well, because you consistently get it in the neck, that might make you notorious, but not really famous.
No, Ethelbert. You know, you have to do something really big, you know, something important to deserve a famous name.
Like what?
Well, like Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey Crime Photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, After Turkey, the Bill. O'clock in the evening, a medium-priced uptown restaurant known as Petrakis's Olympian. At a table for two, a flashily dressed young man pushes aside his empty plate and says to the pretty girl who sits opposite,
"Hey, that turkey wasn't half bad.
You didn't leave much of it.
Neither did you. Shall I order dessert now?"
Uh-huh.
"Hey, waiter. Gus."
"Okay, Keith. What do you want now, Joe?"
"We're ready for the plum pudding now."
"Two plums pudding."
"Mm-hmm. That's what you want, too, isn't it, Lottie?"
"Yes, and coffee."
"Same here."
"Okay, Keith."
"I don't know why you won't let me do anything for you in a classy way, Lottie. I asked you out for a Thanksgiving spread, and you made me bring you to a cheap place like this."
"Joe, you can't afford to throw your money away."
"How do you know what I can afford? I may not have as good a job as my cousin Bird yet, but that doesn't
What's
mean I..."
"What's Bird got to do with
He's
it?"
"He's got plenty to do with it. You didn't have to work today. You'd be out with him now instead of me, I know."
"Bert isn't working tonight, Joe. He came home before we left there. I could have had dinner with him if I'd wanted."
"Yeah."
"Oh, don't be like that, please."
"Why shouldn't I be? While I was away, you and him became awful good friends."
"We were always friends, the three of us. We grew up on the same block."
"Yeah, but while I was away, he moved into your old man's room and house so we could be closer friends."
"Oh, don't start that again tonight. We're out for a pleasant evening, and it has been pleasant so far. Please, Joe."
"All right. Comes out of dessert."
"Two plums of pudding. And coffee."
"You know, when you go out with me, Lottie, you're going to get class whether you think I can afford it or not. I'm going to take you to Dance Land. I'm going to buy you a whole roll of tickets. Best you'd get out of that tightwad fur is a soda in a movie. All right, that's all out, Gus. Bring me a check, will you?"
"You're set it, Joe."
"All right, Joe. Since you won't drop the subject, we'll talk about Bird."
"Swell."
"He wants me to marry him."
"Figured that from that dirty double-crosser."
"He isn't a double-crosser."
"He knows I've been going with you since we were kids and I've always been crazy about you. And while I was taking that bum rap on the reformatory..."
"You didn't take a bum rap, Joe. You asked for what you got."
"All right, so the cops had the goods on me. That gave Ferd no right
to..." "It gave me a right to do a lot of thinking."
"Hmm. And so you decided a sneaky yellow drip like my cousin is a better bet than me, huh?"
"I don't think Ferd is sneaky or yellow."
"Oh, you don't, huh?"
"No. And I don't think you're a criminal.
It's nice of you to say that.
I'm not being nice. I'm saying what I believe. If you make me sure you've learned your lesson, I...
Yeah?
Well, you won't have to worry about me liking Ferd or anyone. There's never really been anybody but you, Joe, only you've got to be sure.
How do I make you sure, Lottie?
Just show me and Dad that you're steady, that's all.
And I've been showing you that since I came back. Didn't I get a job right away?
Yes, Joe, but I don't see how you can afford those two new suits and that overcoat with what you're making.
Oh. Oh, I get it. Ferd can buy clothes or take you out, and it's okay, isn't it? He's never had trouble with the cops. But the minute I spend an extra buck, you and your old man figure I've glommed it somewhere.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Your old man especially. Hates my insides. He don't want you to have anything to do with it.
If Dad hated you, he wouldn't let you stay at our rooming house.
He rents rooms and I pay for the one I rent. That's business. And to ease your mind about the extra dough I spent, Lottie, I'm a lucky guy with dice and a good pool player.
I...
Here's your check, kid.
Thanks, Gus. Pay you so we can get out of here. We're going to dance land and we're... What?
Joe?
I haven't got my wallet.
Oh, you've lost your money?
I don't know. Maybe I left it home.
Well, phone Dad. He'll look in your room.
Well, if he found it, I'd have to go there for it. It's only a few blocks. You stay here, Lottie, while I go...
Oh, you don't have to leave the lady here, kid. You're an old customer. I know you come back and pay.
Well, thanks, Gus, but I can make better time alone. Hand me my overcoat, even that racket's the blue one there.
Sure. Oh, this fancy coat. Nice and bright with red stripes. You got a class, kid.
Yeah, but right now I got no dough. I'll come back as soon as I can, Lottie.
I hope you find your money.
Yeah, I hope so, too. And how?
Gee, Casey, it's nice of you and Miss Williams to have Thanksgiving dinner here in the Blue Note with me.
Oh, we're nice people, Ethelbert.
Well, the very best. True, warm-hearted, and generous to a fault. Pass the salt.
Also, honest, kind, and steadfast. Here's the salt and pepper.
You know, we're really understating our sterling qualities, Annie. We've risen to the heights of magnanimity, whatever that is, by chewing Thanksgiving turkey in this crummy joint we see every day simply because our little pal here had to work. He could only get away from his bartending long enough to grab a meal on the house. We hope you appreciate our sacrifice, Ethelbert.
Oh, I do.
Good. Pardon my reach for the Tabasco. To prove your gratitude, Ethelbert, you can pay for our dinners.
Yeah, well...
Tabasco, Annie?
Huh?
Thanks. Say, you've made a splendid suggestion, Casey. Paying our bill will relieve Ethelbert of a small part of his obligation for our company.
Yep. Say, come to think of it, you two are working today yourselves. You didn't have time to get a full meal any further away from your office than this crummy joint.
Ethelbert, you impugn our motives. He destroys my faith in human nature, Casey.
Yes. The spirit of the day is entirely lost upon his lug.
Casey, if you'd pay me what you already owe this crummy joint, I'd be only too happy to buy you dinner. Get it, Walter?
This guy's too wise for us, Annie.
I'm afraid so, Casey.
Casey.
Yeah, Walter?
You went to the bar phone, you said he did.
Oh, nuts. I'm only just finished my turkey.
No, this means no dessert, Casey.
I'll see what Burke wants.
Well, stall him off if you can.
Yeah, I'll do my best, Annie. Oh, Grace. Hello, Casey speaking. Look, Burke, we haven't finished our dinner yet.
Oh, all right.
Wait till I get my pencil in. Corner of Whitestone and Evans. Well, what happened there? But is that all? For a run-of-the-mill story like that, we gotta leave our dessert and... Well, okay, Burke. All right, goodbye. Why I stick to this newspaper racket, I don't know.
What was it, Casey?
All the Look, we gotta get out to Whitestone and Evans, Ann. Some mug just held up a filling station there and got away with a couple of $100 or
so. Did he shoot anyone?
No, no. Huh? Just one of those inside page fillers. Burke says news is light and we gotta cover it.
All right, where is Whitestone and Evans?
It's way uptown, not far from Petrakis Olympian Restaurant. You know, we've eaten there a couple of times.
Yeah, I remember. Any description of the holdup guy?
Yeah, he wore a flashy blue overcoat with red stripes. See you later, pal.
So long, Ethelbert.
So long. Say, wait! Who's gonna pay for this crummy joint?
Here's what happened, Miss Williams. I'm working the station, see?
I'm here in the office when this hold-up guy opens the door and says, give me a dough.
He had a gun, of course.
Oh, sure, he had a gun. The time was about 7:15.
What did you notice about the guy aside from his flashy overcoat?
Well, he wore his hat pulled down over his eyes and a handkerchief was tied around the lower part of his face. Also, he worked fast.
What'd he do?
Well, he told me to get into the gents' the restroom there and to keep quiet. He locked the door on me and I heard him open up the money drawer there and then I heard him leave the joint. I started pounding on the door and after a while I managed to bust out. That was about 7:45. And then I phoned the cops.
You mind if I shoot a picture of that busted door, Sergeant?
Go ahead, Casey.
Thanks.
You want a picture of me, too, won't you, Mr. Casey?
Huh? You? Oh, sure, yeah. The door and you. I'll shoot the door first.
It's going to give me old lady a big kick to see me written up on the papers.
Hey, was this big puddle of grease in front of this door, Jones, when the hold-up guy locked you in?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I spilled it there earlier, and I didn't have time to clean it up.
Now, the mug must have stepped in it, Casey. Along with the description of his flashy coat I've sent out, I included instructions to look for a guy with dirty grease stains on his shoes.
Well, the two things together ought to nail him, Sarge.
Yeah, I told the Sarge here's something else that ought to nail a guy.
What's that?
Well, one of the bills he stole out of the money drawer was an old 20 that had been torn in two and kind of stuck together with scotch tape. I took it in just before the robbery, so I remember it.
Well, looks like you cops have plenty to work on, Sarge.
Yeah.
Well, we got all there is, Annie. Let's blow out of here, get back to the Blue Note, get some plum pudding and coffee.
Aha, come on.
Hey, ain't you going to take my picture first?
I'll
kind of stand here by the empty cash drawer and point my finger at it.
Yeah, that'll be original. Now stand and point, pal. Go ahead.
Great.
All set now. Shoot.
Jones.
Hey, Gus, I'm getting my picture took. Don't walk in front of the camera.
I just hear what happened to you about that guy in the blue overcoat which holds you up.
Well, I'll tell you all about that later, Gus. As soon as I get my picture.
No. I tell you and those cops about it now.
You'll tell.
Who are you?
Oh, I am Gus Nikopoulos. I am waiter in Petrakis Olympian restaurant 3 blocks from here. And I know who is the kid who robbed my good friend Jones.
You know?
Yeah, I know as soon as I am told the news about that fancy overcoat.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I tell you cops everything. Even where to find this hold-up kid. He tell me he is going with his girl to dance land.
That's the first portion of KC Crime Photographer from November 27, 1947. Good Thanksgiving show called After the Turkey, the Bill. We'll have the conclusion to that in just a few minutes. You know what, Lisa? My daughter, Rachel Amari, she normally isn't up to listen to the weekend show. It's a little late, but she's able to listen to us tonight because we are on from 9 to 11. But she doesn't have a radio in her room, so you know what she did?
I sure do.
What?
Nobody listens to the radio. No, she's got the WGN app.
She
as
downloaded.
Do I.
Yeah, Rachel downloaded.
So it's pretty darn easy.
I don't know how to do it.
Once you open the app.
I don't know how to do it.
I know.
But I knew she would
learn from your daughter.
She was like, Dad, how do I listen? I said, download the WGN app. You could not only listen.
WGN radio app.
WGN radio. Not only listen, but you can watch us because there's cameras in here.
That's
so,
true.
Lisa, don't...
Don't what, Carl? Don't what?
Don't do anything.
Just don't.
Don't get us fired.
Just don't.
Whatever
we'll
you
leave
do.
Leave it at that.
Yeah, so my daughter Rachel's listening, and anyone could listen on the WGN app. Just go to WGN Radio, download the app. You can watch us and listen, right?
Mm-hmm. You can watch and listen.
Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater on a Thursday night. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Probably people are having third or fourth helpings by now,
you think
I would think,
so?
Of the food.
Maybe,
if I was still at my sister's...
Maybe we'd just be on dessert. Maybe some pie.
Yeah.
Did you have pumpkin pie?
Actually, no. I had cake, chocolate cake.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I should
but
have
what
had
was that.
That
pie in your car that the I saw there quickly
car.
As you closed the door so the I wouldn't see
that
it?
That is a pumpkin pie.
That wasn't pumpkin.
Yeah, it was with it whipped was? Cream on the top. Yeah, my sister sent that home with me.
I see. You just
so
didn't want to share.
My son and I will devour that.
Get into that around 11:30 tonight.
No, throughout the week, he likes pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
So we'll have that together.
I'm like,
I'm
what
sure.
is that as the door
be
slams?
Dessert. hey, we had a couple of people texting us asking for the website again for the free radio show that I send out every Monday. You can sign up for an email to get 52 emails from me every year. So one every Monday, you'll get an email from me that has a link to listen to a classic radio show, 30-minute classic radio show with all the commercials in there, everything, the original show, nothing edited out of there. One week it may be Escape. The next week it might be Gunsmoke, then Jack Benny. This is a free service. It's a thank you for listening to this program. Just go to freeradioclassics.com, and there is an S on classics. So it's freeradioclassics.com. Put your first and last name and your email address, and you will be subscribed, and you will get an email from me every single week with a classic radio show. Not only will you get a classic radio show, Lisa, you'll get other things too, right?
Yeah, you'll get a picture of some of the stars. You'll get the sponsor of the show. You'll get some history about the show. You'll get a synopsis of the show. What am I missing?
You get a link
a
to
link,
my blog.
A link, of course, to the blog.
There's a link to my blog. There's all kinds of stuff on there.
So you get an email from Carl every Monday, and that's a treat.
That's a lot of Carl.
It's a lot of treats.
It's an email it's every single week from me. And if you get sick of me, you can always unsubscribe.
No, don't be silly.
That's how it works. Just go to freeradioclassics.com. You can do it right now. You can sign up, and then you'll get your first email on Monday. All right, let's get back to this good Thanksgiving show on Casey, Crime Photographer.
You got no right to pull me off that dance floor, copper.
Don't believe this waiter, Sergeant. Joe hasn't held up anybody.
We're going to see about that. Close the door, will you, Casey?
Okay, Sarge.
Now, this overcoat we got from the check room, it's yours, isn't it, Bowers?
Yeah, that's my coat.
And you, Jones. Say, the guy who stuck you up wore a coat just like it.
It's the same coat, Sergeant.
You're nuts. The store I bought this blanket at, a couple of dozen just like it.
Now, take it easy, kid. Your story's okay. We'll check on everyone who owns a coat like this. I'm going to search you. While I'm at it, you can tell us what you did after leaving Petracca's restaurant. After you couldn't find your wallet, I mean.
I went straight to my room and house to look for my dough. Finally, I found it in the dresser drawer. And I came straight back to Petracca's for Lottie. That's Miss Newcomb here.
Yeah.
The dough's in that wallet you just took out of my pocket. It's about 40 bucks, and it's mine. I didn't steal it.
Hey, is that torn 20 in the wallet, Sergeant?
No, Jones.
Torn 20?
I guess he hasn't got a gun on him either, Sarge.
He's clean, Casey.
Yeah, so are his shoes. Grease would show up plain on those light tans.
Now, he may have changed shoes and hidden a few things.
Yeah. How far is your rooming house from that filling station, kid?
It's 2 blocks away down Evans Street. My father runs it.
How long did Joe leave you in Petracus's while he was finding his money?
I didn't time
it. It wasn't more than 15 minutes, maybe a half an hour. So what?
So you had plenty of time to stick up Jones and go to your room before you came back to Petracus.
All right, if that's the way you dope it, copper, search my room.
I'm going to do that little thing, young fella. All of you, let's go.
Lottie, why have you and Joe come home with all these people and these policemen?
Everything's all right, Dad. They've made a mistake about Joe, but it's going to be all right.
A mistake about Joe?
A big mistake, Mr. Newcomb.
I don't understand.
I'm Sergeant Healy, 5th Detective District. There was a stick-up a few blocks from here tonight, and Joe Bowers here is under suspicion.
A stick-up? Joe?
He didn't do it, Dad. I know he didn't.
You were with him, Lottie. You must know.
Your daughter wasn't with him for a long half hour. Mr. Newcomb, I haven't taken time to get a search warrant, so I'd like your permission to go over Joe's room.
Give him a go-ahead. I have. He'll find nothing to tie me up with any heist, John.
All right with you, sir?
Oh, yes, of course.
Thanks. Take me to your room, Bowers.
Come on.
Everybody else stay here with this uniformed officer.
Miss Williams and I'd like to go with you and Joe, Sarge.
Okay, Casey.
Well, thanks, Sergeant.
My room's on the next floor. It's right up those stairs.
Now lead the way, kid. And don't try anything tricky.
Why should I try anything? What you got on me is that a stick-up guy wore an overcoat like mine. And that's all you're gonna get. There's the door of my room, copper. Open it. Make yourself at home.
Give me a key.
The door isn't locked. I never bother. I'll turn on the lights. Now do your stuff.
I will.
You won't find anything locked up here. Because I got nothing worth stealing. And nothing to hide. Now, if you were going to work in my cousin's room across the hall, you'd need a fistful of keys. He's one of those careful, secretive guys, you know.
You got a cousin living across the hall?
Yeah, his name's Ferd, a Ferdinand. And is he a crumb?
I take it you don't like him.
I like him about as much as he likes me, maybe more. Because he's been making a play for my girl. He isn't getting anywhere. How you doing, copper? You see anything of the dough I'm supposed to have stolen or the gat you think I use in that stick-up?
Not yet, kid.
And you won't. I'm 100% in the clear.
Oh, yeah? How did this get under your carpet?
What?
Casey.
A torn $20 bill.
Stuck together with scotch tape.
I never saw that bill before.
And I think Jones will identify it as the one taken from his cash drawer.
Wait a minute. There's more dough under this rug, Sarge. A couple of $100 at least.
I spotted it, Casey.
I don't know how it got there. I didn't pull that stick up.
Cut the comedy, Joe. This money nails
this
you.
This is a frame-up. I tell you, it's a
Where'd
frame-up.
Where'd you hide your gun?
I never had a gun. I swear I...
Come clean, kid. Where's the gun?
Wait a minute. Will you give me a break? Let me think. Let me think a minute. Yeah. Yeah, there's just one mug who'd pull a thing like this. And if you're right, guys, you won't let him get away with it. Question Ferd, Sergeant. Question my cousin Ferd. His room's right across the hall.
Might be a good idea, Sergeant.
Okay. Let's go over.
There's the room.
Yes?
I'd like to talk to you a minute. This is the police.
Just a second. I was just starting to get ready for bed.
I'm Detective Sergeant Healy, young man. This is Miss Williams and, Mr. Casey.
Are you?
Hello there.
What do you want?
Let me close this door. Your cousin Joe here has made some accusations against you that it's my duty to investigate.
Oh, he has he?
Do you own an overcoat like Joe's here? Blue with red stripes?
An overcoat like that?
Or have you ever worn one?
I wouldn't wear a zoot blanket like that if you paid me.
You say?
Yes, I say.
Mind if I look around your room?
Why?
Bert, someone wearing an overcoat like Joe's held up the Whitestone filling station tonight and...
What? You know where I bought this coat, Ferd. I think you got one just like it on the QT. I think you slipped my wallet out of my pocket just before I left here with Lottie tonight, so I'd have to leave her and look for it. You were watching the restaurant when I left it. You went to that filling station.
Why, you're crazy. Sergeant, you can't believe
it. Maybe I don't. But I want to search your room.
Oh, wait a minute.
Huh?
Have you got a search warrant?
No.
Then get out of here.
Say.
I know my rights. Unlike a certain relative of mine, I've got a clean record.
Who are you calling a lousy
You,
record?
Joe.
Why, I'll knock your teeth out.
Cut it, both of you. So you don't want me to search your room, hey, young fella?
You heard me before, Sergeant.
Hey, pal, wait a minute. You're taking the wrong attitude. If you got nothing to hide, this isn't the way to show it.
He's got a good reason for saying you can't search, and I'm going to prove it. Keep out of that closet, Joe.
Maybe if you can.
I'll make you...
Hold it, Ferd.
Let me go.
Come
on,
Joe. I'll get a warrant.
You won't need a warrant, Sarge. Look there.
What?
In the back of his closet, covered with other clothes.
Oh. An overcoat like yours.
Just like mine.
And in his pocket, there's a gun.
I never saw that coat before. I never saw that gun.
Well, somebody did. Come on. I'm taking you both to headquarters.
I don't know how that overcoat got in my closet, Sergeant. I swear I never saw it or that gun before.
So you've been saying, Ferd. Both of you get into this car.
You did this to me, Joe.
Sure, I got wise to your frame-up, you louse. I threw it right back at you.
We'll continue our discussion at the station house.
Of course, you'll only hold me long enough to get my testimony. I'll be back home in an hour or so.
Maybe. You and Miss Williams tagging along after us, Casey?
No, Sarge. I may give you a buzz later, though.
We still have our Thanksgiving dinner to finish.
So why don't you two get jobs that won't make you work on holidays?
Why don't you?
You mean like Captain Logan?
I've been thinking about it for the last 25 years. Good night.
Night, Sergeant Healy. Come on, let's get into our car, Casey. And get our stuff to the paper.
I'm going back to that rooming house, Annie.
Why?
Are you convinced that Cousin Ferd framed Cousin Joe?
Well, his attempt to prevent a search of his room didn't look very good.
Annie, I'm just thinking.
Well, Joe found that overcoat with what might be called surprising ease.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe that Joe would invite his own arrest in order to frame his cousin. Why, one little slip...
The framer, whoever he is, did make a slip, Annie. His plan didn't anticipate a grease puddle. And he had to get rid of a pair of shoes that may walk back and kick him.
Well, none of the shoes in Joe's room or in Bird's had any grease stains on them.
No? Sergeant Healy hasn't forgotten those missing shoes, and he'll be back pretty soon to really look for them. Well, I'm going to start looking right now.
I'll
ring Newcomb's bell.
Sometimes I wish your snooping instincts were more restrained, Casey. I'd like a cup of coffee now and...
Hi, Mr. Newcomb.
Mr. Casey.
Yes, may we come in?
Of course, but I...
We didn't go with Sergeant Healy and his prisoners. Wanted to ask, how's your daughter now? She wasn't taking this thing very well when we left.
Oh, she feels terrible about it. Miss Williams, perhaps a woman can talk to her better than I can. Will you try to convince her that everything will come out all right?
Well, I'll gladly try, Mr. Newcomb.
She's in our private living room.
Yeah, go on in and talk to her alone, Annie. I'll stay here.
All right.
It breaks my heart to see my girl crying. Mr. Casey, she's all I have. She blames herself for what has happened. It isn't her fault that two young fools became so infatuated with her. I knew they hated each other, but I never anticipated anything like this.
No, guess not.
Of course, you had some reason for coming back here, Mr. Casey.
Yes, I came back to ask your permission.
Yes?
I want permission to ask a few personal questions between ourselves and off the record.
Very well.
You haven't wanted Joe for a son-in-law, have you?
In my place, would you? The boy has served a reformatory sentence that, according to my observation, has failed to steady him or improve his sense of values. Mm.
Ferd has been Joe's opposite, I imagine.
He always seems so.
Lottie strikes me as a pretty sensible girl, Mr. Newcomb. Unless one of those fellas confesses he framed the other, or it can be definitely proven, she'll doubt both of them too much to marry either one of them.
Yes, I think that's so.
And as there'll be no confession or definite proof, things should work out exactly as you planned.
As I planned?
You're the guy behind this double frame-up.
Oh, Mr. Casey.
You didn't think I'd be back, did you? You shouldn't have changed back into those comfortable old shoes after Sergeant Healy left you. You did a lousy job of cleaning off that grease.
Oh, but
you held up that filling station and framed both the boys to keep your daughter from marrying either one of them.
I was very foolish, wasn't I?
Yes, I think so. Shall I call Sergeant Healy?
All right. You can call Sergeant Healy, Mr. Casey. I'm ready to confess.
Wait a minute. Wait. Let me take a close look at those shoes.
What?
The pool of grease in that filling station you heard us talk about wasn't deep enough to reach far above the soles of a shoe. Hey. You greased those shoes yourself. You spread it on so thick it covers the toes and heels.
I didn't spread it on.
Pal, you're a beautiful liar. And I'm a beautiful dope. You greased those shoes and put them on knowing the cops had come back and spot them. You were willing to take the rap. Because your kid is in love with one of those punks.
You can't prove that. Nobody can. And when I confess, that's all that's needed.
You forget. The police lab will compare the grease on these shoes with a filling station grease, and it won't be the same. And then Sergeant Healy will go right back to work on Joe and Ferd.
The police laboratory can tell?
Yes, definitely, Mr. Newcomb. But if it couldn't, don't you think your confession would be much harder for your daughter to take than the loss of a little rat she thinks she cares for?
Well, I couldn't bear to see her cry anymore. All I could think of to do was what I tried. You see, I know the guilty boy, Mr. Casey, and she's loved Joe ever since they were children.
You know Joe?
I found his grease-stained shoes hidden in the cellar tonight. His taste in shoes is like his taste in overcoats, so I could make no mistake.
Huh? Well, let's get him. Take him to the cops. Later, Mr. Newcomb, your daughter's going to realize that the lowdown she'll get on Joe tonight is a cause for real Thanksgiving.
So, the shoes fit Joe and he had to wear them, huh, Casey?
They pinched so tight he cracked wide open, Ethelbert. He admitted planting a duplicate of his coat in Ferd's closet, everything.
If his scheme had worked, Lottie would never have spoke to Ferd again and she'd have married Joe.
Well, that was Joe's idea, Ethelbert, but it worked out in reverse. Lottie sank into Ferd's manly arms when she heard the lowdown and she seemed very comfortable.
Gee, what some guys will do for love. As my sister Edna says, quote, if love didn't make the world go round, there wouldn't be so much dizziness. Unquote.
Or so much niceness.
Yeah. A grand guy. Lottie's old man. Hey, Annie, what's the matter with us? We got plum pudding and coffee still coming to it. How about it, Ethelbert, huh?
Oh, it's about time.
Oh, what's so funny?
There isn't any more.
Crime
Photographer, starring Stotz Cotsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation, makers of Fire King Oven Glass, Anchor Glass Containers, Anchor Caps and Closures, all products of Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Is directed by John Dietz. The original music is by Archie Blyer, and the program features Miss Jan Miner as Anne and John Gibson as Ethelbert. Herman Chittison is the Blue Note pianist. This is Tony Marvin saying goodnight for the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, with offices in all principal cities of the United States and Canada.
That guy, Tony Marvin there, he had a pretty deep voice, almost as deep as mine, right, Lisa?
Yeah, almost. But yeah. You're okay.
And then Jan Miner played a part in there. Yeah, you know who Jan Miner is, right?
I do, because you're soaking in it.
Right. She was Madge, the Palmolive dishwashing girl.
I can picture her perfectly.
You're soaking in it.
I can remember her hairdo and everything.
Who would literally soak their fingers in Palmolive? But well, that's what the commercial was.
It's
remember
a great
that?
Commercial because
we
still
remember
it.
Like, yep. That was probably on 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Probably.
At least.
Yeah. So this radio broadcast of Casey Crime Photographer, November 27, 1947, after Turkey the Bill, starring Stotz Cotsworth, sponsored by Anchor Hawking Glass. And I've posted my Anchor Hawking juice glasses up on our Facebook page. About maybe 6 months ago, I was going through a really cool antique store in Barrington, and I saw these cool juice glasses. I looked, Anchor Hawking.
How do you like
so
that?
So I had to buy them, of course.
Yeah.
I took a picture
they're
of them.
They're beautiful. I wish I had
great.
Some.
And I now I know what to get you for Christmas.
Yeah.
And they are posted up on the WGN Radio Theater Facebook page. Right?
Yeah, they're a few months away.
Well, you got to search for them. Just go there and search. Yeah. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. I ordered you a teeter for your Christmas, Lisa.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
You said you wanted one, so I ordered
it. I say I want a lot of things.
Well, yeah, you were talking about a Burberry bag earlier today that you wanted.
I didn't get it, though.
And then you wanted my Anchor Hawking juice glasses.
That's right.
You just, like, want a lot of stuff.
That's all. That's
but,
all I
no,
want.
No, I got the teeter for you.
Okay.
Because that's a great, you will love that. Your back will feel fantastic.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, all right, what's up for this Saturday and Sunday here?
Yeah, today's Thursday, so the day after tomorrow, Saturday, we will be playing Gunsmoke, Jack Benny, and Escape.
Okay.
And then on Sunday,
yeah,
we will play Bing Crosby, Ellery Queen, and The Whistler.
That's this weekend here on the WGN Radio Theater.
And we will post the exact episodes and photos and whatnot on our Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater, so you can check that.
All right. I want to thank Tom Hush. He did a great job producing the show. Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure working with you, buddy.
Thank you, Tom.
And I'll see you again. I can't wait.
Yeah, come back. Yeah. I know Carl's a little scary, but we hope that you'll come back and try again.
All righty. And then there'll be a podcast up. It might be not up right away, but it'll be up soon, podcast for this show. And stick around because Patty Vasquez is up next. Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez will be on from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning. So stick around for that. I will be listening as I'm driving home.
Me too.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. It's 11 o'clock. Here's WGN News.